the scriptures in Proverbs 12:28. Proverbs 12:28, as you can see, it says, in the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. That there is a good word. That is a good word. In the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. I don't know about you, but I like life. Amen? I want more life. And how do I get there? Well, I just need to find myself in the way of righteousness. In the way of righteousness. You know, I don't want to just preach us another sermon. This is not just something that, you know, it's Wednesday night, and actually it's been a while since I've got to preach on a Wednesday night. We've had so much stuff going on. But, you know, it's not just something I'm checking off my list of the things I have to do this week. I want this message, just like every message, I want to see believers encouraged. I want you to go away feeling better about life and the hope that you have in Christ. I want you to go away with a reason for feeling better about the life you have and the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. I want you to be strengthened in the Word and in the Spirit of God. Not, again, just so you feel better for the rest of the evening, but that your life is changed, that you have something to really hold on to. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for the blessing that it is to be in the house of your people, to be with those who are like-minded, those who have faith, those who are reaching out for you, those who are consistent in their walk with you. And Lord, those of us who are trying to become even more consistent. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the evening that we have. And I pray that you help me to preach a message that captures the imagination as well as the heart for your word, for your righteousness, and the faith that comes with it. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it does us little good to come to the Bible and read it with a carnal mind. We have to renew our mind. We have to keep renewing our mind. I'm continually learning new things. I'm continually finding new revelation. Sometimes it's just a little bit, but a little bit will go a long way if you really grasp a hold of it. Amen? And I'm going to share some things with you about life and death tonight. Some of this is going to be a little lofty, but, you know, this is the Wednesday night crowd. You can handle it, right? You can take this heavy stuff. So, life and death are accurately understood only from the Word of God. By that, I mean you won't really understand what life is, and you won't understand what death is apart from understanding the Word of God. Right? That includes, you know, whatever teaching, good teaching that you might hear, or books that you might read that are based on the truth that we find in God's Word. Only the Bible holds the truth of what life and death are. Other religions and you know, psychologists and those people who try and discover what life is all about, they don't really understand it because they haven't dug into the Word of God. They have no vantage point of truth with which to discern what life and what death really consist of. And one of the fundamental Bible revelations includes that life and death are not mere events. It's not just a stage or a status in life or death. You know, we often talk about in the abortion debate, you know, when does life begin? And we think there is this date that it starts, you know, on your tombstone, we can put the date that you were born, and at the end of your life, they'll put the date that you passed away, and we think of that as being life and death, but no, it's so much more than that. Life and death are not, it's not just an event, it's not just the status that you hold at the moment. Life and death are spiritual forces. I want you to think about that. Life and death are spiritual forces. In the way of righteousness is life, and its pathways, there is no death. You're mistaken if you simply think of life and death in the context of this human thing. You know, obviously I'm alive. Praise God. And if I were dead and lying here and just white and stone cold, you go, oh, yep, he's dead. Life and death is so much more than that. When Adam sinned by succumbing to the lies and the deception of the enemy, he opened the door to spiritual death. Okay? It's the force of spiritual death that brings us loss, brings us death and destruction. If you've listened to me for any length of time at all, you know that I'm always referring to John 10:10. I call it the John 10:10 divide. That's where Jesus says the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he says, I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. See, the scripture presents two opposite extremes. And I kind of preached on this a little bit ago, where I said that Jesus is really an extremist. And he's pushing you to an extreme. He doesn't want you to be complacent. He doesn't want you to be lukewarm. He'd much rather have you red hot. Oh, that's extreme. But you know what? The devil is also an extremist. And they're at two opposite ends. Jesus is at this side, life, abundant life. The enemy is at the other side, death and destruction, loss and sorrow. You have to choose which side you want to be on. You have to make a decision. So let's be very clear. Things like sickness and disease. What do you think? I'll just ask. Does that belong to life or death? Death. Oh, we got a sharp crowd here tonight. Sickness and disease, it's on the death side. How about addiction and bondage? Death. Poverty and failure. Death. I don't find a whole lot of life in poverty and failure. See, there's a spiritual force out there. It's more than just whether this body is breathing. There are other forces involved. Those things that don't exemplify life, and of course there are many others that we could just continue on with the list, they are manifestations of spiritual death. Now, maybe not the full manifestation, all right, but at least a partial manifestation of death. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm sure you don't either. But most of humanity is struggling. They're infected by this spiritual death. They're scratching and they're clawing and they're trying to get on top of it, but, well, it's a futile attempt. Why? Because they don't have the truth of God. The Bible reveals there is a better way. There's a way of life. Wherever that scripture went. Go back to Proverbs 12:28. There is a better way. There's a way of life. There is a way to evoke the spiritual force of life and overcome the force of death. This is good news. See, in the way of righteousness, there is life. And in its pathway, there is no death. And we have to decide. Are we going to approach the Bible as just a nice bunch of poetry and some pious sayings that we can turn to once in a while to make ourselves feel a little better? Or are we going to take it seriously? Are we going to really implement it in our lives? Are we going to allow it to divide truth from fiction, life from death, blessing from cursing? The Bible has those answers. Now, is there anybody here who wants to live a better way? Well, yeah. I think I live a pretty good way, but I want to live a better way. I want to live a better way. I want to continue bettering my way. Amen? This way of righteousness that the scripture talks about, it's a different way to live. It's a different way to live. The ultimate alternative lifestyle, the way of righteousness. Much different than the way most of the world lives. You know, the lifestyle of the world is really more accurately described as a death style. because they're just headed for death. They're headed for loss. They're headed for destruction. There is little life in that lifestyle. Some of you here were part of that death style, if we can say. I was, you know, even though I looked like things were going okay, inside it was death. I was headed for destruction. Couldn't see it on the outside. It certainly was there on the inside. And yet there is a better way, a way to be free from this spiritual death that I'm talking about. And you see, God's plan has always been for his people to be different, to be a peculiar people. Are we different? Well, I tell you, sometimes it saddens my heart when I see studies, surveys that are done that reveal very little difference between confessing believers and the world. Why? How can that be? How is that? Well, we haven't been on the way of righteousness. We haven't been on the way of righteousness. So we come to a very important question. What is the way of righteousness? What are we talking about here? Well, let me share with you. You know, those who just casually read their Bible and never take into consideration the whole of Scripture, they see that Proverbs 12:28, where it says, in the way of righteousness is life. They see that and they think, okay, that means I need to be righteous. I need to follow the Ten Commandments. I need to make sure I've got my life all straight and following all the rules. That is not it. We're not talking about making you more righteous because you're going to act more prim and proper. That's not the way of righteousness. Proverbs 12:28 is referring not just to obeying the law. I mean, avoiding sin is a good idea, all right? I'm not gonna push that completely aside. Avoiding sin is a good idea because sin only opens that door to spiritual death. But the way that you live, the essence of this way of righteousness isn't just rules and regulations. I mean, even the Bible itself says the law is death. Right? All right. The way of righteousness is the way that the righteous live. When you take into account all of Scripture, how does it say the righteous live? I'm going to give you four scriptures, again, some of my favorites, because they say this very important thing. Habakkuk 2:4. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just, and maybe your translation says, the righteous shall live by faith. Romans 1:17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. What is this way of righteousness? Are you starting to catch on to something here? Is there a common theme in all of this just and righteous living? Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. In case you think I'm going a little overboard here, when I say that the way of righteousness is faith, the Bible spends an awful lot of time. Jesus spent an awful lot of time. The New Testament is filled and it goes to great lengths to teach you that there is no righteousness apart from faith. See, if we're going to live righteous, if we're going to live a righteous way, it's going to be by faith. Apart from faith, there is no righteousness. So I got you thinking about faith. Romans 1:17. Again, for in the righteousness of God is revealed, for in it, I'm sorry, for in it, the it is the gospel, in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. But then go to Romans 3:22. By the way, I preach a lot on faith. If you come Sunday, you're going to hear more about faith. And some about unbelief, too. Romans 3:22 says, this righteousness from God, it comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. How do we live in righteousness? By faith. The righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't go along with me on this, you know, if you're just kind of going, oh, I don't know about that, I'm hoping that's not the case. Go along with me on this because I want to get you away from the pathway of death. I want to get you to that way of righteousness where there is life. So just follow along. Humor me, if you will. You know, we need to be open to what God might speak to us when we least expect it. Sometimes you're going to be hearing a message and you think you know where it's going, and all of a sudden something just clicks and God drops something into your spirit and you get revived, you get alive, you get some of that life that we're talking about when you apply faith. So if you hear it and it's just like, well, that's a good word, and you never do anything with it, you never really put faith behind it, it's not going to benefit you much. None of this works without faith. Nothing works in the kingdom of God really without faith. And faith begins where the will of God is known. You have got to know your word. You've got to know what God's will is. Man, oh man, I wish I could just pour into every believer's mind piles and piles of understanding concerning the scriptures. I can't do it. Man, wouldn't that be easy? If you could just, you know, plug your USB cord into the computer and download all of that stuff, not just the information, but also the understanding. But you're going to have to get that on your own. I can't really make you. But we need that, because otherwise we just act in ignorance. We come up with lofty ideas. We come up with sentimental drivel. I once heard a preacher. He was being interviewed on one of those television shows, one of those Christian shows that they have. And he said something like this. He said, you know, some of you out there, I know you're praying and you're so distraught that you really don't even know how to pray. All you can do is cry. Well, I'm telling you, your tears will pray for you. God will hear those prayers. Well, that's a nice sentimental thought, but it's hooey. That's, you know, ignorant. God does not respond to tears. And if he did, wouldn't that make it easy? I mean, it sounds nice, but God's promises are not based upon emotions. God is not stirred by your distressful tears. God is moved and God operates and God responds to, oh, come on, say it a little louder than that. I know you know it. He responds to what? Faith. Amen. Oh, that's so good. Why? Because each of you has a measure of faith. Each of you has the ability to touch God and have his response because you believe. I mean, that is the way of righteousness. That's what I'm here to tell you tonight. Faith is the way of righteousness. Nothing in the Bible that says your tears are going to pray for you. Sorry about that. Faith does not work in ignorance. You've got to know the way of righteousness is the way of faith. The way of faith. We've got to get beyond the old-time sentimental religious stuff that we've had in our past. Let's go to Romans 5:17. Talk more about this faith stuff. Romans 5:17 says, for if by the one man's offense, this is talking about Adam, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. See, Adam's transgression in the garden opened that door for spiritual death. That's what it's talking about here. But then it says, those who receive abundance of grace, thank God, he is graceful. Well, Steve, I didn't realize you were here. I normally see you over there. I thought, who is that handsome guy sitting there next to that other handsome guy with his beautiful wife? It's Steve over there. All right. Oh, sorry about that little diversion. I was surprised. Like, whoa, look at that. So, by those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life. Romans 5:18. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, again talking about Adam there, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, talking about Jesus here, his righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life, the way of life. It's all of this righteousness in. The door of death was opened by Adam, but Jesus' victory on the cross opened the door to spiritual life and an abundant spiritual life. Justification that it's talking about here, it releases that force of spiritual life. Hallelujah. Look again at Romans 5:17. I want you to see once again where it talks about the abundance of grace, those who receive it, and who receive of the gift of righteousness, they will reign in life. How do you receive God's abundant provision? Do you earn it? Do you go to church enough so that you get points? I mean, do you pray long, 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 long hours? The more you pray, is that more righteousness? Crying tears? No. It comes by faith. Righteousness comes by faith. The gift of righteousness. It says those who receive the gift of righteousness will do what? Just barely get by? What's it say there? They will reign in life. What kind of people reign? Kings, queens, princes, princesses. Look at Romans 8:2. I got a lot of scriptures here. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Paul says he has this. It's made him free. It made him free. It can make you free too. Now, if it belongs to sin, it belongs to death. So you don't want to have anything to do with that. Once again, it's not about following the rules. But good night. Don't open the door for death to come in, destruction to come in through sin. It is just not profitable. There's no value in that. There's no life in that. We want the way of righteousness where there is life. Where there is life. And let me say this. There's a great theological lie that often is told and I think more often probably just believed that says that you have to sin every day in thought, word, and deed. You cannot go without sinning. I'm here to say in the way of life, in righteousness, I think you can. I think you can have days without sinning. I mean, don't just fall for this idea that, well, you know, we're just human. We're bound to do it. Well, we are human, and we do sin. I mean, the Bible says if you say that you have no sin, then the truth is not in fact, you know. But I don't believe that we have to give in to the way of death. We can hold to the way of righteousness, and we can have those days of true victory. So don't just automatically assume, well, it's just the way it is. Got to do it. You don't have to be subject to sin. You've been freed from that. You don't have to be subject to sickness and disease. Those things belong to spiritual death. You don't have to be dominated by poverty. You don't have to be overcome by failure. Why? Because you are going to reign in life. It says you can. Paul had it. You can have it. That's the lifestyle of the righteous. See, we need to crucify our victim mentality. We are not the victims anymore. Not if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, any part of your mindset that says, you know, well, I can't overcome it. I'm stuck. You know, we once were victims of sin and death. I'd be the chief among them. I was a victim. But now the Bible says we are more than conquerors. Are you more than a conqueror? Come on, get with the program here. You are, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, don't just take that casually. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, we are more than conquerors. Through Christ, through our faith, not in and of ourselves. I mean, in and of myself, I'm a loser big time. But I am not just in and of myself. Jesus Christ lives in me. The hope of glory. Man. We once were victims. Not now. The Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of life, has set us free from the law of sin and death. Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask, and what you desire, it shall be done for you. If you abide in me. That's in John 15:7. In fact, let's look at another scripture in John. John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said to those who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now be careful of what you think he is saying. He said, you shall know the truth and you abide. Abide, that's in the Greek, it's the word meno, M-E-N-O. It means to stay in a given place or a state or a relation. It means to continue, to dwell, to endure, to be present, to remain, to stand, to tarry. We all know what abide means. And if you stay, if you abide in your ignorance, not knowing or not holding to the truth of God, well, then you're going to have different results than what he's talking about here. Right? If you abide in your ignorance, you're going to be just traveling along the way of death instead of the way of righteousness and life. So we don't want to be ignorant. Stay in his word. Abide in his word. Hosea 4:4 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We need the word. But if you abide in the teachings of Jesus Christ, and I hope we all do, then you're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to make you free. Now here's the truth. The law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Not just me. Remember Romans 8:2? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So what again? What is it that activates the Spirit of life? Faith. Faith will activate the force of spiritual life, and it's going to nullify the force of spiritual death. So now we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God, right? But how do we release this faith? How do we take advantage of this faith? It's so simple, you already know the answer. We act on it. We act on this stuff that we know. We act on the truth that we have gotten by abiding in his words. Right? We act on it. We act on what God has revealed to us. The way of righteousness is being doers of the word. Not simply hearing. And again, Don't go back to the rules mentality. Oh, well, Jesus said you must do this, you must do this, you must do this. And if I do all of those things, that's not what we're talking about. And in fact, if you abide in his word, that truth will be known to you. And you're going to be freed from the rules and the regulations. You're going to be free to just live in Jesus, to live in love, to live without sin and death over you. And in fact, I'm going to finish up just with a little bit of time we have in taking you just in one little direction. When I say we need to act it out, we need to do what the word says, be doers of the word. Try this. One of the ways that we can act on the truth of God's word is by speaking it. See, I wish I could spend hours and hours and hours talking about how we activate the word in our life and how we act according to what it's speaking to us. But let's just take this one little aspect to finish out the night. Try speaking it. Try speaking the truth. Try speaking the life. You operate in the way of righteousness by speaking words of faith. Proverbs 8:21. Sometimes I've taught on this concept, you know, in the old days we used to call it your faith confession. I don't know what we call it these days. It's just speaking truth. Oftentimes I've taught on this, and a week later, people will come back and say, man, I never realized how much I said the wrong stuff and how I kept, and it's like, now I'm trying to be very careful and watch everything I say. Don't get caught up in the legalism of it, but understand the truth of it. Understand that there's life in it, as opposed to the death that we often speak. It says, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. We've been talking about life. We've been talking about death. Well, isn't it interesting that death and life are in the power of the tongue? Do you realize your tongue has power? Well, it has an amazing amount of power that we just never really think much about, because we all talk, don't we? We do. And oftentimes we talk just mindless drivel. And that's not necessarily so bad, but there are things that you shouldn't say and there are things that you should be saying. There's a difference between talking life and there's a difference between talking death, right? The Bible here says, you will eat the fruit of your words. And it's talking about it has the power of life and death, and the fruit that comes from either one of those two, that's what you're going to have in your life. The tongue has power, and it exudes a force. It can exude a force for life or the force of death. I'm not talking about just what you say to other people. You know, we all know if you talk bad about your kids, that's speaking death into them instead of life, right? Death and life are spiritual forces that can be released by the words that you speak. See, I'm trying to get you to a place in life where life is the preeminent force of your being instead of death. Remember, life and death are not merely the status or an event. It is a spiritual force. Now, these spiritual forces can be released by the words that you speak. So if we're talking about believing, operating in faith for that righteous way, we need to consider what we say. If life and death are in the power of the tongue, what are you speaking about your finances? We all deal with finances. Are you speaking faith about your financial situation, or are you speaking death? What are you speaking about your marriage? What are you speaking about your health? What might you be speaking about your children? Two extremes, life or death. It's astounding how casually Christian people will speak death over their lives, and they don't even realize that they're doing it. And again, I can honestly say I have done it. And sometimes I catch myself doing it now. And I teach this stuff. I've been teaching about speaking words of life and faith for, I don't know, longer than I can remember. And yet sometimes I catch myself doing it. Saying things like, well, we never have enough money. Well, now there's a real confession. We never have enough money. How about our kids are always getting sick? Yikes. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 91:10, no plague will come near my dwelling. You might ought to be saying that, speaking those words of life. Remember, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Are you releasing life with what you are speaking? Speak the scriptures. And you'd be amazed at how much life comes into you and is manifested in your life. Well, I just don't love my spouse anymore. There's words of death if you ever heard them. You know, why not change what you're saying if you're having a difficult time in your relationship? Why not say, you know, I love my spouse. My desire is for my beloved. Start reading Song of Solomon about your spouse. You can't live a life of victory without speaking words of faith. I'm just very much convinced of that. You can do a lot of things in the way of righteousness, but if you're not speaking words of faith, you are tripping yourself up all along the way. Why do it? Start speaking words of life, words of victory. In fact, the primary discipline of faith, I think, of the faith life, is disciplining your tongue. You ever read James chapter 3? It talks about the tongue. And it says, like the bridle in a horse's mouth, it changes the direction of the horse, or a rudder on a ship, it changes the direction of that ship. Guess what? Your tongue can change the direction of your life. If your life hasn't been going where you know it should go because the scripture is promising you victory, well, maybe you need to change the way you're speaking. Maybe you need to reconsider not just how you speak, but of course how you think. Jesus said it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. And so if you've been speaking these death things, it probably in your heart needs to change. And the word will do that. But how does it do that? Well, we start applying it. And one of the ways that we can easily apply it is by beginning to speak what God's truth says. I don't have a lot of time here. Remember that time when Jesus told his disciples to hop in the boat, go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and they all get into the boat, and Jesus, well, he goes to sleep, but during this trip across the water, a great storm arose and waves are coming over the side of the boat, and the disciples, they begin to panic. They think that's bad news, and they wake up Jesus. I mean, he's still sleeping through all of this tumult. And they wake him up and they say, don't you care? We're about to die. Words of faith? Words of life? Words of death. And Jesus said, why are you guys afraid? I mean, you think it would be obvious. Jesus is in the same boat with them. He says, why are you guys afraid? Jesus is essentially saying, where's your faith? Come on, guys. Where's your faith? It certainly wasn't in their mouths, right? Obviously, it wasn't in their heart. If your faith is not in your mouth, it's not going to do you any good. I mean, you can keep your faith tucked away in your heart, but I tell you what, why not use the power of your tongue to release life into your life? Life and death are spiritual forces, and you can evoke either one with the power of your tongue. The Bible says that in that situation, Jesus just stood up and he rebuked the wind and the waves. He spoke words of faith. Hallelujah. And it changed the situation. The disciples, so amazed, they said, well, what kind of man is this? This is a faith man. A man of faith. You know, the primary motivation of fallen man is fear. It is. I mean, when Adam sinned, well, God was looking for him in the Garden of Eden. And, you know, Adam basically said, well, I was hiding. I was afraid after he sinned. He hid out because he was afraid of God. Major motivation for humankind right now is fear. Most of humanity speaks out of their fear. Let that not be us. I mean, if you want a lifestyle of life and not death, that lifestyle is faith. And the words that you speak should be words of faith. So begin to think before you speak. I know that's kind of hard sometimes. But begin to think. How am I seeing my situation? And what do I want out of life? I know, I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Kenneth Hagin who had this saying. He said, if you want the dog to come to you, why are you calling the cat? Right? If you want health and you want prosperity and you want peace and you want victory, things that the Bible says can be ours through Jesus Christ and faith, why are you calling for these other things? Thank the Lord, the force of spiritual death that you released by the words of doubt you've spoken can be overturned by words of faith. You can begin speaking words of faith today. It's going to be because you've been abiding in His Word. Because without His Word, you know not anything of faith. Right? Faith begins where the will of God is known. If you know what the Bible says, if you know the promises that He's made to you, if you know His love and His desire for you and for your welfare, it's not hard to speak words of faith. That's what we've got to do. Don't keep bringing more death and destruction into your life. Speak words of faith. It's a whole lot easier to train your tongue to speak words of faith than it is to undo the damage of speaking words of death. So, we're done. But let's pray.
Oh,